You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We've been doing a series of interviews with candidates running for Congress in Wisconsin here on Central Time and on the Joy Cardine Show. The primaries will be held on August 9th. This week, we've been talking to candidates in Wisconsin's first district races. We're wrapping up that series today with the incumbent Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan, who's running for re-election in Wisconsin's first district. Speaker Ryan, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, how you doing, Rob? Thanks for having me.
Sure. Well, let's start with trade issues. Your primary opponent, that was his main point when we talked to him yesterday. He criticized your support of free trade deals. So what is your stance on the state of free trade now? How can it best benefit your constituents in the first district?
Well, that's the whole point of it. It's got to be done so that it does benefit people in the first congressional district. That's what motivates me. You have to remember, 96% of the world's population, they don't live in our country, they live in the other countries. And so if we want to have a strong, mature, growing economy, we've got to make and grow things here in Wisconsin and sell them overseas. And we have to get good agreements for our manufacturers, for our growers, for our producers, because we have to have exports in order to have a good, mature, growing economy. So the question is the quality of the trade agreements. Can we get good agreements that level the playing field for our workers, for our businesses, and that open up markets for our folks? I wrote the Trade Promotion Authority law when I was Ways and Means Chairman to guarantee that Congress has the final say-so in trade agreements and that the public has absolute transparency so that they can see every inch of a trade agreement so that they know and we know in Congress what we're voting on. And then the question is, we got to go out and get good agreements so that we can open up markets. The other point I would make is you have other countries running around the world getting preferential agreements for themselves, which necessarily can freeze us out of those markets. Let me give you just one example, and I promise I won't go on too long, but Europe is trying to convince other countries that if they want to buy cheese named, you know, Swiss, feta, parmesan, gouda, with European names, that cheese can only come from Europe. It can't come from America like Wisconsin. So, for instance, Europe got Canada to agree to this. They call it geographic indicators. And so that means the European Union has gone around to our trade, our customers, and have convinced those customers to stop buying Wisconsin-made cheese and only buy European cheese. That means we have to engage in the world. This is just one little example. We have to engage so that we can keep those markets open for our producers. We make a whole lot more cheese in Wisconsin than we could possibly consume ourselves. And to keep these dairy farmers going, to keep these cheese producers going and growing and hiring and having jobs and businesses, we need to open those markets up and prevent them from being closed. So that means you have to engage in the world. You can't do nothing, because if we erect a big protectionist barrier, we will lose because we have to export if we want good-paying jobs. The key is get good agreements. Well, let's level the playing field and open us up.
Let's look at an agreement on the table now, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, briefly staying with trade. You'll have an opportunity to bring approval of that to a vote in the lame duck session. You've got reservations, we've heard, on that deal.
I do.
Will you let it come to a vote?
We don't have the votes. So I, as long as we don't have the votes, I see no point in bringing up an agreement only to defeat it. I have my own problems with TPP. It is not ready. The president has to renegotiate some critical components of it. One of the things I'm really worried about is intellectual property right protections. I believe that the agreement they agreed to reduces our private property rights for intellectual property, for things like biologics and pharmaceuticals, which are really important to making sure that we can bring these drugs to market. I think that there's some agricultural things that need fixing. I also worry about a few other provisions dealing with labor that I think that they made a big mistake on. The point is, the Obama administration negotiated a deal that cost them dozens of votes in Congress. The votes are not there. They have to fix this agreement and renegotiate some pieces of it if they have any hope, a chance of passing it. And I think that the sand is running through the hourglass pretty fast. I don't see how they'll ever get the votes for it.
You've been in the news lately and today, really, for disagreements and for your support with presidential candidate Donald Trump. You've publicly disagreed on free trade, NATO obligations, the idea of an executive ban on Muslims entering the country, his questioning the ethnic background of a federal judge on this Gold Star family debate. We saw conservative writer Bret Stephens in the Wall Street Journal calling you by name to drop your support for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You're saying you're not dropping it, but there's not a blank check. What is there a line that Donald Trump would cross that would lead you to withdraw your support?
Well, yeah, these are never blank checks, of course. And I said from the beginning, at this outset, number one, I'm going to respect the Republican primary voter who voted for our nominee. He won the nomination fair and square. We're a bottom-up, grassroots, democratically organized party. And so he is the selection of the voters who voted for him, and I have to respect that. Number two, as I said, if I hear things that I just disagree with, if I hear comments or positions that I think are antithetical to our Republican conservative values or just First Amendment values, for instance, like the Muslim ban, I'm going to speak out against those things. If I see our principles being distorted, I feel an obligation to defend those principles. And so I said all along, if I hear things or that I feel need to be responded to and confronted, I will do that. I don't like doing that. I really don't want to do that. But I do feel a need to defend our principles if they're being distorted. And that has happened from time to time. I hope it doesn't continue to happen. But one thing I know for certain, the agenda that we're advocating, that we're pushing in the House, the Better Way agenda, which you can find at better.gop, how to get people out of poverty, how to grow the economy, what to do to reform the tax code, how to fix health care, how to fix the regulatory state and have a comprehensive national security strategy. None of those things will happen with a Hillary Clinton presidency. So it's obvious and clear to me that a Clinton presidency takes the country in the wrong direction, not to mention the fact that she'll put bad judges on the Supreme Court from my perspective. And so it's kind of a binary choice here. And that is, it is either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. And it's just that simple.
A lot of people, conservative Republicans, are writing that you're putting your political reputation at risk supporting Donald Trump. Rinesh Pernuro, a conservative columnist, said today, we can't trust Donald Trump to appoint the conservative judges we want. Do you think, from what you've seen on Donald Trump on the campaign trail, that he will be a reliable supporter of that agenda you mentioned, of those judges you want to see?
Yeah, you mentioned just two friends of mine, Rinesh and Brett, and they feel very strongly, but they're not the Speaker of the House. They're not the highest elected Republican official representing Congress and the party. And I feel a need to respect our rules. The delegates voted for him. It's a democratic system. And I do believe, I actually had a long talk with him a couple of times about judges and about appointing judges that there's a group called the Federalist Society that is conservatives, we believe, is sort of the gold standard measurer of the temperament of judges, of the kind of judges that we would like to see on the court. Each of the judges of the list that he put out from which he would select from had the highest rating among the Federalist Society. So these are the kinds of conversations we've had. The one thing I am darn certain is that Hillary Clinton will not select from those kinds of judges. She will not select somebody that the Federalist Society would give a high rating to. And so, again, it's a binary choice. I know Hillary Clinton will put a bad judge, from my perspective, on the Supreme Court. I believe that Donald Trump won't.
We're talking to House Speaker Paul Ryan about his reelection campaign, primary elections on Tuesday. Congressman Ryan, assuming you're reelected and you keep a Republican majority in the House, you might have to deal with another Democratic president or a Democratic Senate, or at least a substantial Democratic minority in the Senate. How can you work with Democrats to get things done to avoid gridlock over the next 2 years?
Yeah. Well, obviously, I hope that that's not the case. I hope that we win the majority of the House, the Senate, and the White House so that we can get these big things done that we have not been able to get done because of divided government. The tempo that I took as becoming Speaker back in October was one of two things. One, work for common ground where you can find it, get that done. And then, number two, where you don't find common ground but you have a big difference of opinion, offer an alternative agenda and offer to the voters to try and win a mandate to implement that agenda. That's what our Better Way agenda is all about. But on the first category, we passed a massive infrastructure bill, the longest five-year bill, the longest we've done since mid-1990s. We passed an overhaul of our trade laws, our customs laws. We passed the most comprehensive rewrite of our K-12 education laws in 25 years. I passed a lot of tax bills to produce tax certainty. We just passed 18 bills dealing with the opioid and heroin epidemic, all on a bipartisan basis. I'm negotiating cancer legislation right now with the administration and Senate Democrats to try this cures bill. The president calls it the moonshot. We think there's common ground on cancer research legislation, and there's a number of issues where we can find common ground and get things done. We're going to do that. But like you said, in dividing, especially with liberal progressive dividing government, there are things that just they won't agree with that really leave us at a stalemate. Debt reduction, balancing the budget, reforming the tax code, restoring the Constitution and the Article I powers, not to mention our problems with national security, both homeland and border security and national security. We have, and that is why I think clarifying elections are important. And that is why we feel we have an obligation and a duty to our fellow citizens to offer proposals. I don't want us to just be an opposition party. I want us to be a proposition party so that people at least have a clear choice on the big issues of the day as to which direction they think the country should go. That is what we are endeavoring to do in the House and offer that agenda. And we will work with us to implement that agenda.
Congressman Ryan, thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Thank you, Rob. Have a good one.
That was Republican Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, Congressman from Wisconsin's 1st District. He's running for re-election there. He joined us today as we conclude our series of interviews with candidates in contested congressional primaries here in Wisconsin. The Speaker joined Central Time. We'd invited him for a half hour with calls. He was able to join for 15 minutes on the condition that we would not be taking live callers. You can find all of our candidate interviews at wisconsinvote.org, along with a lot of other information in this year's 2016 election. Primary elections next Tuesday, the big show in November. So again, you can track all of that election information here, our interviews here at Wisconsin Public Radio, interviews on Wisconsin Public Television as well. Find it all at wisconsinvote.org.